tonight, we want to welcome everyone to our Wednesday night family night at the Lighthouse. So I want to remind you, if you're watching online, feel free to engage with us. You can type in your comments or questions, and those will be read in the building. Brother Jim, are you watching for those? So Brother Jimmy will let us know if there's any questions or comments online. If anyone has prayer requests in the building, write those down and pass them up this way, and we will pray at the end. If you have a prayer request online, type that in all caps, and we will be praying at the end. All right, so we are in brand new books. If you need a book, there's some at the Welcome Center, or there should be some. Let's see, Sister April, do we have, Jesse, do we have any? Okay, do we have any leaflets? We are out of material, so that must be a good sign. We must be growing around here. So if you did not get a book or a leaflet, then you can grab your Bible, and that will work just as well. So follow along with your Bible, and if you're online, same thing, follow along with your Bible. We are in lesson one of our new lesson series, and the title is Overcoming Trials, Practicing True Religion. And so I want to start with the question. I want to remind you guys, we love to engage together on our Wednesday nights, so if you have a question or a comment or an answer to my many questions tonight, please step up to a microphone so everybody can hear you in the building and online, because there's no point in sharing if people can't hear you, right? We want people to hear you. So my first question of the evening, and I'm expecting a lot of engaging comments here, how do you deal with trials? What do you do when trials come your way? Do you have any specifics that you every time... this is your go-to when you're facing a trial. What do you do when a trial comes into your life? And I'll tell you, I am doing an internship right now in the school for school counseling, and I'm finding there's a lot of people, a lot of kids especially, that they don't know how to handle trials. So you may think that your answer is just common sense, like, duh, everybody knows that, but everybody doesn't know that. And that's why it's important for us to be willing to share. Because we have kids who are overwhelmed with the smallest trial. They don't know what to do. They get panicked. They get anxiety over every little thing. And they've never been taught that trials are a part of life. It's normal. But how do you get through it? We have a society that they don't know how to do hard things. They think if something's hard, then I just need to quit and give up. How many of you have ever done something that's hard and you survived? It didn't kill you, right? You made it through that. But we have a generation coming behind us who they don't know that. They don't understand that. They feel like if it's too hard, it's not worth it. And it's our job, church, to teach them you can do hard things. So I want to hear from you. How do you deal with hard things? How do you deal with trials that come your way? What do you do? Brother Bob.
One of the first things you do is ask God for guidance to lead you in the right way and say the right things and to understand the scripture the way he wants you to understand. He will lead and guide you in the right way. He won't turn you the wrong way or that or the left or the right. He leads straight on, talking to the what he wants you to know.
Yes, so number one, we should ask God for guidance. I heard a statement one time, and it's never left me, is that God is never surprised. Nope. So although something may come our way that catches us off guard, we weren't expecting it. God was. And so we need to ask God for guidance, and he will show us how to walk through that situation. Sister April.
Well, for me, I always like to go to God's word because I get lost in my own understanding a lot, and it always says to walk by faith and not by sight. So to walk by faith, you have to know what God's word says. And so I say you have to read the Bible every yes. day.
So even though it was written over 2,000 years ago, some of it, and some of it almost 2,000 years ago, it is still 100% applicable, and it doesn't change. So if you need some consistency in your life, then you read your word, and it will show you what to do and how to feel and what to think through those times.
Another thing, too, God said, all the way, and now him, he would direct that path. We got now him, he will help us through the time. We may fall a lot of hard time, Because it knows him, he would direct your path. He would take us through it.
So God will direct our paths. He'll show us. So anything else? So we have ask God for guidance and wisdom, read your word. Those are two very good things. Sister Sally?
First thing you do, you pray, and then you trust God. You know that he loves you. He wants what's best for you, and you don't try to help him. You just trust him and watch, and you'll see that he's working. And sometimes it takes a long time, but don't give up. You always trust and you wait, and the answer will come, but you trust him and just sit back and relax.
Yes. So during our trying times, should our prayer life be going to God and complaining about how hard life is right now? Is that going to help us?
No.
Does it change anything to complain?
No.
So sometimes we forget that prayer should be just as much listening as talking. Anyone else guilty of talking way more than you listen to God? I think he hears our voices way more than we hear his. And if we flip that around, we're going to be far better off. So especially when you're going through a hard time, don't go, as Sister Sally said, with your own idea. Don't go and tell God, well, God, this is all messed up and this is how it should be. Can you fix this for me now and do it this way? But go and say, God, this is what I'm going through and I don't know what to do. And then just sit and listen. And I know I'll let Brother Darius in a minute here, but I know I've never heard God in an audible voice. Some people have. But I have those clear impressions, a feeling, a thought that just comes. And that's how God speaks to me. It's not, my mind is not directed in a certain way. I'm just quiet before God and something will pop in my head. And if it lines up with the word of God, then you know that's the direction God's giving you. Brother Darius.
Well, the question was, how do you deal with trials? One of the things I do is I first kind of discern if that trial is because of a bad choice that I took. If it is something that I made a decision and trial came because of that decision, which happens a lot to many Christians, has happened to me many times, then the first way to deal with it is to repent and ask God for forgiveness. And then after that, you can then ask God for help. And don't blame anybody when that happens. And so that's pretty much like try to find the root of the trial, but trials are like toothaches. You don't invite them. You don't plan for them. So, but when they come, you got to deal with them. And that's one of the ways I deal with them, if that's the case.
Yeah, and so I actually had written that down, so thank you for bringing that up. I see two reasons that trials happen. Number one, it's either external or internal things going on around you, and you have no control over that. It's just part of life. It's just going to happen. And all of those things that we talked about are ways to deal with that, whether it's external things coming against you or internal feelings and emotions that just seem out of control in your life. All the things we mentioned can help you through that trial. Or number two, as Brother Derry said, is it's a consequence. And if you don't take time to recognize that it's a consequence, you're going to repeat that same trial over and over and over again. So let's learn from our mistakes. And you know, we can't go through this trial of financial issues and still go out and spend whatever we want to spend whenever we want to spend it. We're going to keep repeating the cycle of that trial. So let's learn when it's something that we brought on ourselves. Brother Andy.
So I think the biggest trial that anyone ever had to face is Jesus Christ when he was on that cross. And I think of him when he said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." For him to die like that. And in Hebrews, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, to know that we were the joy set before him and that he was willing and just he loved us that much that he laid down his life for us.
Yeah, and that's the reason that we can go to God in prayer. That's the reason we can read the word and it's applicable, because Jesus dealt with everything that we dealt with. It says he was tempted, just like we are tempted. And yet he did not sin. And so who better to get advice from than the one who's been through it and did it perfectly without sin? Brother Jesse.
You know, one of the things that helped me is look back at the last trial that God got you through. Mm. And when you realize that he got you through that one, mm-hmm. and you know he's going to get you through this one as well.
Yeah. So that's called a testimony, right? God brought you through one test, so he'll do it again. Remind yourself and remind others what God has done for you because it can encourage them. Sister Tracy.
So I feel that when I go through something hard, I try to find a person or people that I trust that I can be open with and share and get some advice from them about maybe what they've been through, or even just listening sometimes to them say, I've been through that, and let me tell you what I did. It's helpful. But I also was going to say, I talked to a friend earlier this week about just some things that were happening with us and with them, and one of the things that she said was, if you don't learn it the first time, you're going to go through it again. So she's like, when we go through things, we have to make sure that we learn from them and do something different.
Yes.
So that it doesn't happen again, and then again, and then again, and then we pass it on to our kids.
Yes, and thank you, because that was the last thing I was thinking that we had not mentioned, is reach out to someone. You don't have to face a trial all by yourself. Especially find someone who is a seasoned Christian who's going to give you godly advice and share that load with you. And so that's very, very important. And the last thing I want to say with that, too, is don't be afraid to share it with your family. If you have children or grandchildren, if you invite them in that process with you, number one, they're learning that life can be hard. And I just told you, kids need to learn that. Sometimes they see their parents and don't know the trials you're going through, so they just think, your life was perfect. Why is mine so hard? They don't know unless we tell them and open up to them. And then number two, when the testimony comes, they can celebrate with you because they've prayed with you and they've walked through the process with you. So let's not be too guarded about the trials we're facing, but let's share it so that people can learn with us through that process. Sister Sally.
And the Bible says that we should rejoice in when our trials, but you know, who of us rejoices when we have trials? But what we should do is not get mad and scream, you know, I guess maybe that's part of the rejoicing, I guess. But what we do is, like my pastor Derry said, we check, say, God, is this come upon me because of something that I did? If so, repent and show me the way, and then just we have to go back to trusting him, knowing that he loves us, and whatever it is, it's going to work out to our good.
Right.
It's going to end up good, and in this world, there's always things that's come giving us trials and headaches, so we're going to have lots of them. We got to learn to be joy and not be sad and upset during those times. Yep. But trust God. That's the best thing there is. Pray and trust the Lord.
All right. And so that's going to lead us right into our lesson. We're going to be in the book of James all night tonight. And it is believed that this James was probably the half-brother of Jesus. So Mary did have a son named James. So scholars believe that was probably the same James that wrote this book. And they assume the letter was written around AD 49 or 50. It was written to Jewish believers, and it was following the martyrdom of Stephen. So if you remember, after Stephen was martyred, the church kind of scattered, which is what God needed to happen. They went into different places, but now that they're not all together, they're not getting all the same teaching. And so God needed people to write these letters and send them out as instruction to these people who went their own way to different areas. And so thankfully they did that, because that's where our Bible came from. All those letters coming together and being compiled. So we are in James chapter 1 and starting in verse 1. So James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always like when the Bible talks about servants, because it reminds us that we are not the one in control of our lives. If we are a Christian, we are to be as a servant, which means we don't call the shots. We obey. What God tells us to do, if you are a servant, you are doing it. Anybody struggle with that sometimes? When God tells you to do something that either you don't want to do, or number two, you think you can't do. Not an excuse. We are servants, so we need to obey. So it's to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. if you want to read along with that. In verse 2, and this is what Sister Sally just mentioned, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And I did a lot of looking in the Strong's Concordance into the original Greek language for a lot of these words just to get a good understanding of what it was talking about. And that word, when it says meet trials, or the King James says fall into, that means something that is all around you. It is surrounding you. And isn't that a good definition of trials? It's all around you, and you fall into it because it's right there. Everywhere you turn, you don't. And as someone said, you don't know when you're going to find it. It catches you off guard. You just kind of fall into it, and then there it is. So it says, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. And this is the reason why, right here. For you know that the testing of your faith produces, some things says patience, but I like this one says steadfastness. Steadfastness means that no matter what comes my way, I'm not going to change. It means no matter how hard life gets, it's not going to move me. And that's what trials can do. That's what it produces in us. That ability to stand my ground and to not waver. My emotions don't have to be a roller coaster ride. Anyone ever been there? Where you're up and then you're down, then you're up, then you're down. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, has anyone heard this saying that says, don't pray for patience? Because why? Because you're going to get trials. But as children of God, shouldn't we want to be patient? Shouldn't we want to be steadfast? And if that's what it takes to get there, shouldn't we be willing to pray for that to happen? As the church, we cannot be afraid of doing hard things. We can't. If we want to grow, we can't be afraid of the process that leads to growth. And so nobody wants to go through it, but we have to be willing to go through it, to submit to that process. Brother Bob.
Yeah. No, I quit. You were talking about going through trials and temptations. Is that what you said? Well, that is, too, they can be a witness to people. You can be testified. That's a testimony there. So, yeah, I overcame the problem because God helped me through it all.
Yep.
And that's how we beat them. Not by ourselves, but we're God, but God helping us.
Yeah. So you never have a testimony without a test. Right?
Amen.
And the biggest testimonies come from the biggest trials where you knew you couldn't do it on your own. And that's what you have to share with somebody else. Sometimes that opens the door to the gospel, that you can tell them about Jesus because they saw you go through something that you could not have done on your own. Pastor Joe.
So I was thinking when you were talking about patience, and a lot of times I think we view patience wrong. Patience is an attribute of God. It is an attribute of His Holy Spirit in our life. When we read in Galatians chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit are these attributes of God. So I don't think that we have to pray for any of that. We have to pray seeking the face of God. And as we draw near, He draws near to us, right? And we begin to reflect His image. So I think that sometimes we look at these attributes like they're things that God separately gives us. And some people may have to work on some things in their life more than other things. But God has already given us patience. Mm-hmm. We just need to receive it and walk in it and live it out. The truth is, if we're struggling with patience in our life, then that means then that we're leaning on the arm of our flesh more than we are the Spirit in that specific area of our life. And so I think it's important, especially going back to what a lot of people said, facing trials. Is this a trial of my own doing? Am I struggling right now with not being patient because I am living in a carnal mindset? Or is this a struggle because I have a spiritual attack coming on me right now? I'm being overwhelmed and there's an attack on my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. And do I need to take a pause and begin to ask God, help me, Lord, overcome this attack? Either way, I think the prayer and the focus of the prayer needs to be on Him, not on what we need. The other day, Brother Todd said it so good. He said, we seek the hand of God too much. We're supposed to seek the face of God. And I think as long as we keep seeking the face of God, the hand of God is open to us. And everything that He has, He's already freely given us. And it just, you know, when I read that, it says to let patience have her perfect work, right? Patience is already there. We don't have to pray for it, but we have to let God do what He wants to do in us.
Right. Have you ever seen people that it just seems to come naturally to them? They are just naturally more patient. And so I think in all of our lives, there are different characteristics that we struggle with more than others because of our personality. And so as we continue to seek God, that's how He refines us to make us more like Him. And so we continue to seek after Him. And then going on to verse 4. So it says, let steadfastness or patience have its full effect or perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And in the Greek, again, that word for perfect is talking about in all of your labor, in all of your growth, in all of your mental and moral character. So you are complete in every area of your life. That's what learning to grow in patience will do for you. That's what God wants to do in each and every one of us. He doesn't want us to have areas that we struggle in. He wants us to be the example of Christ on this earth. And so that's what we can learn to be. Brother Bob.
Yeah. This is good, but also, plus I get that head, God said, be content. I'm with you. Be content what I'm doing. And I would give desire of heart. Trust Him.
And I think when we get to that point where we're seeking God, the author said this, I liked it. It says, we value spiritual growth above our temporary comfort. It's not comfortable to go through a trial. But when our focus is on our spiritual growth, we know that it's worth it and that He's going to bring us through it. And so it doesn't mean either that we pretend like we're not going through a trial, as we kind of talked about. It's okay to say, listen, life is really hard for me right now. It's okay, as Tracy said, to go call somebody up and say, I need you to pray with me. I need you to join in faith. If you have a scripture, send it to me because I need that encouragement right now. And you allow the body of Christ to surround you through that trial. No one here is saying that you should just come in all smiley and bubbly when you're feeling like heartache on the inside. We're not saying pretend that you're not hurting. But what we are saying is don't give up and recognize the eternal focus after you get through this, and you will get through this, the benefit to you and to those around you when you remain steadfast. And that's what God expects from His people. So going on in verse 5, we're going to talk about wisdom, and I want to ask before we even read this, why do you think James went straight from that patience and trials into talking about wisdom and the wisdom of God? Anybody have an idea of why he's going from one to the other? Is it a completely different topic? Is he intentional in this? What do you think? Brother Darius.
Well, for me, a very simple concept of wisdom is the ability to choose right. And in that sense, I believe that choosing right in the middle of trials is critical.
Yes.
What you're going to decide to do when you're facing a trial, it will definitely shape the outcome.
Yeah. And how many of you know that sometimes in the middle of a trial, you're very emotional? Do you think you make very wise decisions if you're emotional? So once again, that's why it's important you go to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is steadfast. It's unchanging. No matter your emotions of the day, if you're reading the Word, it's not going to change based on how you feel. The Word is the Word. That's why it's important to go to God in prayer. Because again, if you're listening for the voice of God, God is steadfast. He's not... I've seen some parents, I'm not a doting mother. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. I'm not. Like, Joe and I are both pretty straightforward, like, okay, get over it. Like, stand up, brush it off, you're fine. And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but have you ever seen the doting mothers? And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but they are like, oh, come here, let me kiss it, let me hug it, let me. I don't believe God is that way either. God is like, you're going to be okay. Let me tell you what you need to do to get through it. He is not moved to emotion based on our freak out moments. He's not going to freak out with us, if that makes sense. So it's okay to go to him in prayer with all of your emotions and know that he's going to come with that wisdom that you need to say, okay, now listen, this is what you're going to do. And I think we all need that. We all need that constant. That says, I understand your emotions are all over the place. But I'm going to show you how to bring it back under control. And it's under God's control. So we need the wisdom. In verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Does it say, go ask your best friend to give you wisdom? They can give you advice, right? Wisdom, but they can't teach you how to have wisdom. Only God does that. If you lack it, you ask God to give it to you. So then you have the wisdom inside of you. That's what God wants you to have. You can ask friends for advice, but how much better for God to give you that wisdom? Brother Bob.
As long as that, patience and wisdom, they go hand in hand. If they get patience, they're going to get wisdom. If they get wisdom, they're going to get patience. So you got to have both of them together to make things work out for the good of God. Without them, we can't do nothing.
Yes. Yep, if you don't have wisdom through the trial, it's not going to turn out well. So let's ask God for wisdom. It says he gives generously to all. We've talked about that word all, right? Does that mean just the ones who are going to church every Sunday?
Everybody.
No. Even if a sinner on the street would go to God and say, God, I need wisdom in this situation, I believe God's going to answer that prayer because he says he gives it to everybody. And then I believe that wisdom's going to turn that person around to see, I need God, I need a Savior, Sister Sally.
You said, why did he go into wisdom right away? Well, he went into it because wisdom is God. It's God's word. That Bible is wisdom. And the answers to all of our trials, our joys, everything is in there. And he wants us to go to that. It's just like the first says that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. He's telling you, he's the answer.
Yeah. And I believe, too, that he wants that relationship. And I think sometimes that's a reason God allows the trials, because his children run to him quicker in a trial than anywhere else. And shame on us if that's what we're doing. But sometimes that's what we do. When things are going great, we may not spend as much time seeking the face of God. But let me tell you need a miracle in your life or your family's life. How much more time do you spend seeking God? How much more time do you spend reading your word? How much more time do you spend in the church building, at the altar? And it shouldn't be that way. We should be seeking God no matter what's going on in our life, because as Sister Sally just said, we need him. That's what we were created for, to have that relationship with him. But sometimes it takes a trial to wake us up and remind us, you can't get through this life on your own.
You think
You're not going to do it well unless you're doing it with God. So for wisdom, in verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubt, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So if you want wisdom from God, you need to go to him and ask, but you need to have faith. You can't say, well, God, if you want to give it to me, but you might not, I don't know, maybe, could you please, if you would? No, you go and say, God, you're a good father, and I know that your word says you promised this, and I thank you for it already. Because I believe that tomorrow I'm going to start making wiser decisions than I made today. Because you're helping me, and you're teaching me, and you're leading me. And that's how his children should be. We should know that God wants us to succeed. He wants us to do well. And it says that when we don't have that faith, we are like one that is tossed to and fro, like on the sea. Is an unstable man? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So as Christians, we know, if you know what the Word of God says, you don't have to be double-minded. You don't have to wonder what God wants to happen. You can know what his Word says. And then you're not tossed to and fro like that. Brother Bob.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is like an anchor of ship. Anchor in the sea. No move.
Yeah.
Tossed to and fro. Anchor to God. Anchor.
Yep. So God is our anchor. It's kind of like Jesus just walking on the water, right? Doesn't matter what's happening. The waves are blowing. The wind's blowing. The waves crashing. And Jesus is just walking. No big deal. And that's what we need to remember in our lives when we feel like the waves are coming from every side. And do you ever notice it doesn't seem like it's one trial? It's like a trial after a trial after a trial. It just hits you and pounds you. And you think, I could have made it through one, fine, but there's like five. This is too much. Have you ever said that? Because I have. I remember one time we were going through a really hard summer. It was about 10 or 11 years ago. It was a really hard, and it felt like one thing after another in our personal life and our ministry and family. Like, we just kept getting these phone calls. And I was like, I told Joe at one point, I said, I feel like it's not done. It's like, I'm just waiting. What's next? We've had like five things already in a month's time. What's next? But those are times where you got to remind yourself,